Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hey everyone, we're talking about shaking up an industry that's been coasting way too long.
Yeah, no more rinse and repeat, slap a logo on it, innovation. This one's about real problem solving and real grit.
Think modern tools with old school values, building smarter, better, right here, instead of buying cheap overseas crap.
And trust me, this episode's packed with laughs, lessons, and even some bald guy problem hacks you'll never forget.
If you've ever hit locked doors chasing your dreams, you'll want to hear the passion and persistence that can blow them wide open.
So grab your coffee, strap in, and get ready. This is Blue Collar BS. Welcome back to Blue Collar BS, everyone. How you doing today, Brad?
I am fantastic, Mr. Stephen Doyle. And how is the Detroit Motor City treating you today?
Oh, it is actually a beautiful fall day. It might be 70 degrees, but who cares, because it's sunny out and it is phenomenal. No humidity, no rain in sight. Let's go. It is perfect. Time for some fall football weekend.
Perfect. And who's Michigan going to lose to this weekend?
I think it's a bye week.
Perfect. Then you can't lose. Awesome. It's better than the Badgers. That's for sure.
Holy shit. Yes. Yes. So who do we got on the show today, Brad?
Our guest today is Brian Hyatt, the founder and CEO of Dry Mountain, a veteran-owned outdoor gear company based in Utah. Dry Mountain's mission is to bring real innovation back to the backcountry using additive manufacturing, in-house engineering, rapid iteration. When I talked to Brian on the initial call, the things that he is working on and doing and innovating in the industry is nothing short of spectacular. So, Brian, thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thanks for having me. No pressure.
None at all. None at all. So,
kind of, you know, led me in there with a huge, massive, I'm changing the industry.
Your words, not mine.
Hey, you know what? You got to talk a big game sometimes.
That's right. That's right.
Go big or go home, right?
That's right.
A lot of that.
That's right. So before we get going too fast into the show here, Brian, which generation do you identify with or fit in with?
Oh, jeez. I'm an 88. I was born in 88. So kind of one of those homeless ones.
No, not really.
Oh, no. Really, no. Really, no, you can't claim that. No.
Hey, don't be putting that stuff on me, all right? I'm just going to go ahead and say that right now. Let's just pause, hit the brakes, back up a little bit. I mean, we just started the show.
So he doesn't want to admit to it, but that's okay.
That's okay. That's all right. We know that generation well.
We blow up this pit.
Yes, you must have quit. Let's go.
You're regretting this.
So what got you started in your journey to start Dry Mountain and work on additive manufacturing processes?
I'm bald and I sweat a lot. So I was trying to solve, I was just trying to solve, you know, the bald guy problems. And I was, being in from Utah is, I'm blessed because it's like the mecca for the outdoor industry. I can step out my backyard and I'm literally on Dry Mountain. I actually did a TikTok live this morning, and this is going to be weird, but there were people just watching me. I just hooked my phone up to my scope, did some digiscoping, shout out Vortex and MagView, but they just watched me look for deer, and that was my TikTok live. It's one of those beneficial things of being in this area, and I don't know, it's trying to solve a problem rather than relying on, and I'm broke too, so you know that goes into it. Gear's too expensive.
It's all good.
You gotta get a little bit creative sometimes. Yeah, from a farming community, born and raised in Payson, Utah, and yeah, you just kind of get creative sometimes. You gotta solve problems and do. I tried to solve it through the marketplace, like, you know, every good old capitalist will. But like a good old capitalist, there wasn't a solution. Mm-hmm. So I made it.
Okay.
And how did you, why the additive manufacturing piece to it? I mean, you're a younger guy, right? You're not going to claim which generation you're part of, but you're going to use some technology differences that are there versus the old methodology. What made you go down that path versus a traditional path of solving the problem?
Traditional schooling was not one for me. So that's what took a lot from my military. The military was great for me. I loved it. It allowed me to grow up in the structure, you know, from continuing with sports and everything from high school and college. And then traditional schooling just didn't really work. So I tried to teach myself. And the best way to do that now is additive. I mean, I've got the printer here. I can print it now. Mm-hmm. I can teach myself how to CAD. I can, you know, I will say that I am a glorious alumni of the YouTube University. Yes. massive one. If you want to learn something today, you can. Now, let me write. No, but you can at least get the base. I mean, how many videos on YouTube are there about changing a spark plug in a 97 Chev? A lot. How many of them go wrong? Most of them. But you know what? It's at least giving you somewhere to start. It's just a spark plug. How hard is it to do, right?
Oh, trust me.
How I got started.
I failed epically at that, and I have a nice bill right now as a result. So it's, you know, it's pretty nice.
My dad's probably so proud. He was, my dad was a teacher and a high school basketball coach. And this is just give you a little insight into my genius mind. I thought it would be a good idea to slough his class. I had him as I called it a POT instructor, physical to principles of technology class. And he was not there. So I decided to slough it, not thinking I was going to get caught. Yeah. Welcome to the inside of Brian's mind.
Yeah,
genius.
So your dad's teaching the class. Your dad's not there. You decided to skip the class, and you thought you weren't going to get caught because dad wasn't in the classroom.
Yep. I thought it was going to be a good idea. Oh, it was like scotch free, perfect excuse to not to go. He's not there.
Did you use the excuse of, "Well, I was with dad," to not get in trouble? Well, I was with you, dad.
Good old. Yeah, it was. Let's just say it was an adventure in my younger years.
As you're going through this, right, you say yourself here, modern tools, old school values. How are you bringing your stuff to market differently to your end user?
Good question. And I know I say, you know, modern and old school, and I try to walk the line, because I honestly think it is a walking a tightrope between the technology we have available today and the traditional values and, they'll say, ethos of hunting in backcountry skills, survival craft, bushcraft, whatever it is. Now there is, you know, you have, think of like the Apollo capsule and the computer that processed all of those calculations for us to put a man on the moon. And we have a smartphone in our pocket that has so much more processing power and information right there, that the way that we learned back then, or how I learned, I remember just, I mean, I think we can all relate to the going hunting with your dad for the first time and seeing that look when he turns around because you're being too loud, you stepped on, you know, a stick or something like that. And then that's like ingrained into your brain, and you never, it's one of those, like, it's, you will forever remember just to walk a little quieter, you know, light footsteps. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to find that balance between utilizing what's available without drop shipping, because that's literally the outdoor industry today. It's a lot of drop shipping. It's a lot of the same thing, rinse and repeat, because it works, or it sells. It goes off of metrics rather than actual solutions that it solved. It's not innovation at the, you know, at 12 miles in. It's boardroom looking at, this is what a lot of people are selling, or this influencer is doing this and that and this. And I'm more of, how can I take things out of your pack rather than just add to it? For everything that I do put in your pack, I want to take two out, because you don't need to have a billion different things to do different things. It can do more. I mean, we have the multi-tool and this was the Swiss Army knife. I want to be that type of brand. And how I'm doing that is trying to cultivate a, let's say, what is the word where you put together a bunch of experts, I was just talking to this engineer who had some experience in with the Skunk Works and blew my mind. I had no idea how I even ended up in this conversation to begin with, but well, I'm telling you, I just kind of stumble into things. It's been one of those weird things. LinkedIn has been really, really good to me for some reason, but I've been trying to just figure out a way to introduce things slowly, almost like grassroots, that's not a manufactured grassroots method. Like, think of what we think of grassroots is it's not ever really true, purely grassroots. It's, there's a larger engine at push, if you will. I'm trying to go the way of solving the problem, therefore justifying me being in the space. Actually creating a good good product that solves a solution at a fair price, and having that be my intro. And having that be what my brand stands for, rather than who can spend the most money on marketing.
Right.
What?
And that's all I got to say about that.
No, but so tell our audience a little bit more about the desire with Dry Mountain and, you know, the manufacturability for outdoor gear.
Onshoring. Buzzword.
Yeah.
Massive buzzword today, at least. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people really understood supply chains till 2020. I think that's when it became more widely talked about in the political or public square of supply chain, understanding how things are made. Currently, we don't really have the capability to produce very much here as far as consumer grade electronics goes. And I say that, but at affordable price that we'll pay, because we are the biggest consumer. The government is as well, but we are also the cheapest people. I mean, at least my folks are. We're trying to, pinch pennies, even though it doesn't matter your social and economic standing, you're still trying to pinch pennies. So we ask these things of these brands of being, made in America, but yet if we can save a dollar on buying something that's not made in America, we're going to. And I'm trying to change that. It's very, very hard to change that dynamic, and it's an education thing as well. So that's where it goes back to the additive manufacturing route, is producing a higher grade quality product because of the material sciences with it. Small batch manufacturing is possible to do it here, and to do it with quality, and to actually be able to scale it. Because if you just add another printer, you can theoretically multiply it by a value, a whole by 10, by adding another printer, printers keep printing, you make money. It's great. It's one of those processes. So what I've done is put together a bunch of small Wisconsin's, shout out Wisconsin, Stack 3D, Brandon and those guys. They have, I call them mom and pop shops. They're not, but they're just smaller manufacturers who were willing to take a chance on a guy like me who has this dream and this vision of making products that actually solve problems in the backcountry. Rather than just has a cool logo on it. Although I do have a cool logo.
You do have a cool logo.
You do have a cool logo.
And you got a lot of swag gear in your on your website. Not a lot of utilitarian.
Yeah, stuff. I mean, you go to my website right now.
It's a t-shirt company. T-shirts. What are we talking about?
Yeah,
that's all it's on there. Proprietary stuff is tough, man. It's hard not to let the cat out of the bag every single time, especially lawyers. I'm telling you, the bane of my existence, patents and lawyers. When was the last time you guys saw a brand new product come to market in the outdoor industry that has not been done before?
Can you recall? In the outdoor industry? Ooh, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good question, isn't it? Yeah.
The patents expire and they just remake them, right? And just something different, different color, different material, different something.
Yeah. It's... Go look at the Patent and Trademark Office website, and it is insane. I'll ask you guys another question. When was the last time real innovations happened with a backpack?
With a backpack?
Well, use a backpack. It's just the one thing. And this is not putting any backpack manufacturer on blast, by the way.
Had the clip to go around your waist to the front. That was the last innovation that I'm aware of.
All right. Now we know which generation you're from. I was thinking more or less like, you know, external than internal frame, but all right, let's go around with a belt.
when they put the clip on the, so you can be, so it attaches to the rest of your body. So
you know, he just, around, he just,
right? Yeah, I knew that.
He just wanted a front facing backpack.
You're right. You're right. Panty pack. But in all reality, that's what, how many years has that been?
After I got, got out of college for sure. So nineties.
Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of iteration, not much innovation because innovation costs a lot of money. And then, you know, these brands were successful and they made a lot of money. And then the decision making got taken out of the people who created it, or they started with the best ideals and intentions, but then it just became part of the whole cog in the machine. Mm-hmm. Now it's just about, we're also asking a generation of people to protect public lands and why they should be important, you know, interested in it, yet not really explaining why. Kind of go back to the whole thing is, I don't know how I've gotten into these rooms. I have a big mission of trying to educate people, to just shine a light on the smaller brands. There's a lot of us out here who are trying to, you know, make a change, make an impact. Not those drop shipping brands. We're not going to talk about them. Mm-hmm. Because there is, we're not going to talk about Instagram. We're not going to talk about TikTok because that's just all white label. Yeah. If that's where you want to go, cool. But we're talking about, you know, the brands that are really trying to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And they actually show up in more than one way. They show up with the nonprofit side. They show up with a lot of the initiatives. I'm lucky enough to, you know, have talked and had a few connections with the Backcountry Hunters of and Anglers of America. They're an awesome nonprofit. Luckily enough to have conversations with you guys. I have no idea how I got here, but here I am.
Shane connected us. Connected me and you. Shane Hannes.
Yeah. Like I said, LinkedIn.
yep. So how you connected with him, I have no idea, but Shane connected me to you and like, okay, great. Let's have a conversation. Yep. Had a phone call and now we're here today.
Yep.
For our audience, what's like the coolest stuff that you guys are out producing right now
that you can tell us?
That you can tell us.
Okay, so I think that the coolest thing that I am working on currently is a way to fuse an actual AI that you can use without it being connected to Wi-Fi into the backcountry. So you can have it's for safety, it's for communication, it's for being more aware. It's offloading your mental workload and allowing you to be more present and to experience it in a different way. Because the age of AI is here. There's no doubting it. It's just, that's what it is. Now, it's how we understand it and how we utilize it is what really is going to determine the impact in my industry, in the outdoor industry. That's probably the coolest thing I'm working on. Other than, obviously, I will say the name. It is called the Trail Light, and it is the first thing that I invented. And it was because I'm bald and I'm out of shape and I sweat a lot. And I did not need the power of the sun on my forehead all the time. So there are times, but yeah, it's the Trail Light is an awesome project that I'm working on. The cool thing about it is it's all 3D printed. So electronics, you can integrate the electronics into a print now. So it'll be as far as I know, you know, I mean, your viewers might correct me on this, but it'll be one of the first 3D printed consumer grade electronic in the United States.
Wow. That's called innovation.
Yes. Heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's called swinging for the fences. there's an interesting having a startup in the outdoor industry that's no longer just an outdoor gear company. I have had a lot of really cool, very smart advisors, way smarter than I am, help me. And outdoor solutions is kind of more fitting, I guess you'd call it that. It's just, I kind of feel like I'm just the good idea guy. But, you know, I was a handyman prior to starting this. So it kind of fits, right? I can do a lot of things, but I'm smart enough to know that I don't know what I don't know. And hence, find people who do know. That I think the biggest message I could give your audience today is to never stop learning. Never stop trying to find. I have this written down on this paper right here, actually. And I have question and then an arrow to answer, and then an arrow to question. And it's just this revolving circle. And that's how you actually can solve problems. You start with a small bite, and then a little bigger one, one step at a time, one day at a problem, one day at a time, one problem at a time, baby steps. It's kind of my little mantra thing there. And it's the only way that you can actually get anything done. It's so hard to bring a product to market today. It's, I mean, they want to say that they have all these doors and avenues open to you, but there is a lot of roadblocks and a lot of locked doors that I don't have a key for.
Right. Because it's all pay to play. And you've got to find ways to organically do it. And that is very, very difficult.
It is. It is. But it's worth it. I saw a recording of Steve Jobs, and he was talking about, he was one of those big old conferences that they have all the really smart, successful people go to, and people will pay to go listen to it. Cool. But it was a clip that it was just saying that you kind of have to be your biggest fan. You have to believe in yourself no matter what. You have to have a passion for it, because if you don't, what are you doing? It is already hard enough as is, that if you're basically getting in your own way by doing that. If you don't believe in your product, how can anybody else? Kind of hit home.
100% accurate, right? And when I talked to you the first time, your passion and desire for what you're working on and doing is completely authentic and real. You want to make your industry, your part of the world, the thing that you are most passionate about, better for everybody else. And that is what's going to lead to ultimate success. Right. Right. I mean, you're not going to let it fail because of a stumbling block. It's going to be spectacular. And I am right. Hopefully someday there'll be something other than t-shirts on the website and sweatshirts. And there's a product there. Right.
Yeah. What I always tell myself is I'm the customer. I built this for me. So if I'm the only one at the end of the day who has this product and I buy it, I'm the only person. That's all right. Because I made it for myself. Did this solve everybody else's problems?
You selfish bastard.
Icing on the cake. Hey, I sound damn good at it, don't I?
Yep.
This is why it's BS podcast. I am full of it. My eyes are blue, but buddy, I'm telling you, I'm so full of it, they might as well be brown.
All right. So this is the rapid fire part of the show. So I'm going to ask a bunch of questions. Hopefully they're very short answers, one word type answers. Ooh. Type scenario. And we'll see where we go from here. So dumbest thing you ever heard in a meeting.
Something I said. There's a lot of what? Because I've had meetings where I didn't understand words they were saying. Did I actually actively have to Google what the word was? And it didn't make sense to me. So I just said, what?
Okay. What is your go-to excuse when running late?
Technical difficulties. I got a funny story about kombucha. Is that kombucha? Kombucha?
Kombucha. Right.
Real quick. Rapid fire. Simpsons. Cat lady. Crazy cat lady. I have met a real life imitation of that crazy cat lady, and she was brewing kombucha, whatever it was, in her front room. Yeah. This tales of handyman stories. I'm fairly sure I'm on a watch list. I got out of there so fast. It was wild.
Okay. Favorite candy?
I've been, for some reason, Charleston Chew.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, right? Huh? I want one of those now. I'm ready for a sponsor.
There you go.
Frozen. Yeah, knew it.
Frozen, even.
Early bird or night owl?
Oh, I am 37 years old, former military. I wake up at 3:45, 4 o'clock in the morning, and by 8 o'clock, I'm ready for bed. Also, no kids.
Yes. Best pizza topping?
Meat. If it moves, it's fine.
Favorite movie quote?
That's all I got to say about that. I can relate to that character so much. It's wild.
Favorite music?
Disney power ballads. I don't know. I love country, but it's something about them power ballads, man. It really gets the blood going in the morning. I'll shed a tear every now and then. just around the river bend. Ultimate motivation. Yeah.
Living or dead? Living or dead, who would you want to have a conversation with?
Well, living, shit, people who died. They lost.
Fair. But if you could bring them back and talk to them, pick a person, living or dead, that you'd want to have a conversation with.
President Grant. I am a massive fan of history, and I feel like Ulysses didn't get a fair shake. I mean, he did win. Just saying.
Interesting.
There actually is a mausoleum in New York. This is it's huge. It's just nobody knows about it.
People want to learn about Dry Mountain and learn about you, Brian, and want to get a hold with you to industry support, whatever it might be, talk hunting, different things, find you. How do they get a hold of you? Where do they go?
At Dry Mountain Chief or Dry Mountain Official. I'm finally on the socials after being off of there for a while. So LinkedIn, Dry Mountain Chief, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all the blah, blah, blah stuff. Either that or they can send a telegram. Because kind of, like I said, you think I'm a t-shirt salesman if you go to my website. Hey, I built that myself, by the way.
Watching YouTube.
I made my brother famous because he's the picture on the front where he's like, you're the one. That's him. He just didn't know it. I didn't get consent.
Ooh, legal battles. Those lawyers are going to be back in your life again.
Yep.
Yeah, but I'll just be dead. I'll just be like, hey, I'm no longer here. I identify as Julie. Or
I identify as, I'm out. Peace out.
Thanks so much for being here today. We really, really appreciate it. And I look forward to seeing what Dry Mountain comes forward with as you continue to win your battle and change the industry.
Appreciate it for having me, guys. Thanks. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.